Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. This was now the third time that he was revealed to them after he was raised from the dead. This is our text. The first time Jesus revealed himself was on Easter evening. The disciples were together in the upper room. They were in Jerusalem. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Thomas wasn't there. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands. He showed them his side. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The second time is similar. It's the same place, but it's 1 week later, and this time Thomas was with them with all of his doubts. "Unless I see the mark of the nails, unless I touch the scar, I will never believe." And then Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Thomas, put your finger here. Touch my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe." Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Then it happens again. The third time. Our gospel reading today. This isn't just their imagination. It isn't just wishful thinking. They're not expecting to find Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee any more than they expected him to come into the upper room in Jerusalem. And it's almost like risen Jesus just can't stop coming to his disciples, that he can't stop being with them, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing. This is a totally different place in our gospel reading today, a totally different setting, and yet the same risen Jesus is there, revealing himself alive to the disciples. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And yet I'd say this third time, there seems to be something awfully familiar about it. Like it's a repeat, like a deja vu, like Groundhog's Day all over again. Let's see. The disciples by the Sea of Galilee, Simon Peter going fishing, in a boat on the water, and that night they caught nothing. We've seen this before, haven't we? They've been here before, haven't they? Jesus is risen from the dead, and now it seems like we're right back at the very beginning of the gospel, right back where they started, right back to what they were doing when they first met Jesus. If you flip between Luke 5 and John 21, it's like nothing has changed. Still fishing, and the fishing's just as bad as it's ever been. And these disciples, well, now at the end of the gospel, we know them far better than we did when the gospels began. These disciples now have histories. They now have regrets. They now have sins. Simon Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Thomas, as already mentioned, had his stubborn doubts. Nathanael, he questioned whether anything good could come out of Nazareth, and he meant Jesus as well. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they tried to get the best spots in Jesus' kingdom. "Hey, Lord, how about the seats at your right and your left for us?" And no doubt the 2 other disciples with them had reasons to be ashamed as well. It's just we're not given their names. So it's not like this little band of brothers, these disciples, are especially worthy or deserving of the revelation they receive. The fact that Jesus revealed himself risen from the dead again is an act of grace. Grace to these sinful disciples. Grace to the whole church. And yet there is one thing that seems maybe slightly different here. On this occasion, John 21, they were together. This is emphasized. Their daily lives may look the same as they did 3 years earlier when Jesus first called them. The fishing may not have changed much, but after the resurrection, the disciples were together, just like you are today, right here. To follow risen Jesus is to be together with other disciples. This is how the Holy Spirit describes the church. All who believed were together. And the author to the Hebrews exhorts us to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You need other Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, and they need you. And this is why, after Easter, the disciples don't simply scatter and go off their own ways, doing their own things. It's why we find them together. It's why we are together. So the disciples were together and doing what they knew how to do. And I don't know about you, but there's part of me that wants to rebuke Simon Peter and ask, what in the world are you doing going back to fishing? But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus helps the disciples. They went back to their nets. They went back to the dirty, sweaty, filthy, often futile work of fishing, catching tilapia for Galilean tables. And there's nothing wrong with that. Easter doesn't mean the end of work. What Easter means is faithful living and working in a new light. In so many ways, the disciples' lives are completely the same after Easter. But one thing is different, and it's this. Jesus, the Lord, is alive forevermore, and he is not only alive, but he is serving his people. Now, I know that our post-Easter season can seem a bit like those disciples back at their fishing. Life returns to its old, frustrating normal. The Easter feast ends, the dinner is finished, and our life just goes back to what it was. It's not what we want it to be, and we aren't what we want to be. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And then Monday morning rolls around, and there's work to be done, diapers to change, garbage to take out, bills to pay, doctors to see, and I'm still struggling with the same sins, barely keeping my head above water, drowning in shame, overwhelmed with sorrow. It's back to fishing after Easter. And I'm no better at fishing than I was before, and the fish still aren't biting. Sometimes life feels like one long string of nights and empty nets, just like it did for those disciples. But just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And that happens an awful lot after the resurrection. Mary in the garden thinks he's the gardener. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus think that Jesus is just some guy who doesn't know what's happened in the recent days. He's right there, but they don't know it. Jesus is present in a new way, even when they can't see him, and even when they don't recognize him, and even if you wonder where he is. Dear brothers and sisters, he's not far away. And now from the shore, he calls out, "Children!" What a beautiful way to address his disciples. As if the disciples in the boat are children at play, children under the care of a dear father, children watched over by an elder brother. "Children, do you have any fish?" "No, none at all. All night, no fish. What's new?" "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." As if it's a game. Like weary and frustrated children, the disciples are out there in the boat, and Jesus, like the grown-up, there on the shore, there to help them and be with them. "Oh, dear children." And they take the stranger at his word. They trust that he knows things that they don't, that he sees things they can't. And so they cast the net, and now they're not able to haul the net in because of the great multitude of fish. And we've seen this before, haven't we? And they've been here before, haven't they? And suddenly one of them realizes what's going on. It all clicks. The disciple whom Jesus loved says, "It's the Lord." And before you know it, Peter's in the water too. And he's a fit, like a fit, like he's a fish, like he's being dragged in by a net, being hauled in with all his sins and his failures. And we've seen this before too, haven't we? Peter has been here before as well. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Except this time, Peter doesn't wait for the command, and this time he doesn't bother to walk. He just dives right in. While the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, Peter swims the 100 yards to shore. Jesus from the shore directs the disciples fishing. He provides the large catch for their nets, and then he provides even more. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter hauls the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Weary and hungry from their long night's work, Jesus invites them to eat bread and fish. And we've seen this before, haven't we? They've been here before, haven't they? Remember the loaves and the fish? What are they for so many? Oh, in the hands of Jesus, they're more than enough to satisfy hungry crowds. They're more than enough to fill and strengthen exhausted disciples. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Jesus feeds them. Jesus feeds us. It is the Lord, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who is not far away, but who is right here in your midst. And it is the same Lord who came to serve you with his life. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus said, "I am among you as one who serves." The night before he was betrayed, our Lord indicated that his death would also be about serving. He laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, he tied it around his waist like a servant, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wash them with the towel that was wrapped around him, showing how he would serve them by his death. And now, risen from the dead, we see that his resurrection is also about him serving. It is about him serving his disciples, serving his church, serving us as we go about our daily callings and lives, about Jesus providing what we need, being there for us all the way through. Risen from the dead, Jesus serves his disciples, and he serves us. And thanks be to God that he does. As we go through our daily lives, as we work in our livelihoods, as we serve our families and our neighbors, it can be wearying, it can be frustrating. And so often it feels to us like we've been here before. We're tired, we're hungry. Sometimes we're up all night with nothing to show for it, and yet Jesus is there with us. He is close by, and he keeps coming to us. These things aren't beneath him. Even the little things don't escape his notice. Nothing is too small for him. Nothing is too ordinary for him. No work is too menial for him. Not even fishing nets and not even breakfast. He cares about your daily life. He cares about your daily needs. And yes, I know you may not see him standing there on the shore while you're out in the boat, but he's there and he's serving and he's directing and he's preparing. And even now, he's got a meal laid out to strengthen you. And yes, we know he'll even be there when the light of the new day dawns. After the long and weary night, we'll say, "See, it's the Lord." Risen Jesus serves us, and he comes to us in our daily lives so that we can serve others until that day comes when we see him face to face, standing on the shore, and we join in the song of praise that goes on forever. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. They ate and they drank with him. They are witnesses of his resurrection. And it's enough for us too. This is what we need. Come, our risen Lord says, with a meal already prepared, come, children, and break your fast. Come and eat. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.